Let's finish this tomorrow. Hello and welcome to edition 221 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula One. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. We are sat here at Archant Towers in the centre of Norwich. We are also going out on Future Radio, and we are here to review the gimmick that is the Monaco Grand Prix. I'm giving it to you this time, Fed. We will also have, of course, a wee glance ahead at what's in store come Canada. Coming up, Redemption Rich, Monty Snorlow and Vertrappen. I am sports journalist Michael Bailey, and joining us on the pod tonight, we have 2 times Beckles Kart champion Kyle Cumbers.
Good evening.
And Damon Hill Radical and blogger Richard Baxter, hashtag Point Whore.
Good evening.
I should write your website address in there. What do you go by again in terms of your blogging persona?
It's Blogs on Wheels.
Blogs on Wheels.
Or Bo, if you want to take it down short.
Good. Yep. Thanks for explaining it. Cogs are going particularly slow at the moment. Love it. How are you, Carly? Well?
All good. Yep. Good weekend.
You did, or did I?
I did. Did you?
Yeah. Lovely. Thanks. Yep. Nice to go to Wembley. What did you do?
Just enjoyed a bit of the sun.
Yes. It does feel like it's properly summer, which is exciting, given it's still only May. Just about. So let's get straight into it, shall we? Because we've got a shed load to talk about. Obviously, it was the Monaco Grand Prix at the weekend. We asked for it. Richard delivered. I've called you Richard there. How about that? Commentary of the start of the Monaco Grand Prix as procured by our wonderful own Richard Baxter. Here you go.
Hello, everybody. You're here with me, Rich, back by demand. I don't know if it's popular or not, but as mentioned in the last podcast, did some commentaries for the starts, I think last season, maybe the season before, I'm not even sure. But you are here with me for the start of the Monaco Grand Prix. The team's just coming round to start to line up on the grid. Daniel Ricciardo, there you go, Michael, is on pole position. So let's see what happens. Max Verstappen starting last, comes to line up in the grid. I'm here, I'm ready. I've got car-shaped poppadoms to snack on. One light, two light, three light, four lights, five lights. Pause. Go! Okay, and seems to be quite a decent start by Vettel. Is looking to the outside of Ricciardo. Looks like it's quite neat. Hamilton's keeping third. Very tight into turn one. All seem to be going through well. Okay, through Sandevoort. Vettel's all over the back of Ricciardo. He's looking to get past. But I think it's pretty much as you were as they come round into Casino Square. Verstappen's still at the back by the looks of things. They all seem very well behaved. No real contact there as they're coming round. I think it is exactly as you were, pretty much. I don't know if anyone got a decent jump at the start to overtake anyone as they come round into the hairpin. Is there going to be any idiots trying to overtake? Williams very slow in the middle. And Van Dorn looking to his outside. Always a few little bumps, but I don't think there's anything major. But Verstappen has gained 2 places ahead of both Haas. So, decent start-ish for Verstappen. Ricciardo, Vettel, Hamilton, Raikkonen and Bottas, top 5. So, yeah, as you were, let's see what the rest of the race holds.
What else the race will hold? We said nothing else, really, did it, Rich?
Not in terms of where they finished. There was kind of more intrigue throughout, but nothing really came to fruition, unfortunately.
Was a sterling commentary effort, by the way. Keep doing those. Kyle, I want some from you as well. Anyone else who wants to do them, do them.
I like the pause, as you say, between the lights. I think that's a nice touch. I like that. Yeah, it adds a bit of tension, yeah.
Maybe more importantly, car-shaped poppadoms?
Yeah, they're a thing.
Now, we've got a picture. We'll share it on all the feeds at some point. feeds being a good pun there. Amazing. Different colours as well.
Yeah, they did blue ones, green ones, red, yellow. They did white ones as well.
Who did?
The company who made them. I can't remember the company. I don't know who they were called. Car-shaped poppadom company or something, probably. They're awesome. I saw them. We got them. Well, I say we got them. My girlfriend's mum gave them to me. So, yeah, had plenty to snack on throughout. So, and of course, it's an important thing when you're watching the F1, you need a drink and you need some snacks. You've got to stay hydrated and well-fed. So it's a fact of life.
Especially when it's a really long race, which I think Lewis Hamilton said it was 78 laps of tedium, I think, for him.
Yeah, because Mercedes seemed to accept third place from the beginning, and they just kind of told him, don't get overtaken, don't push too hard, keep your tyres, and we'll take this and move on to the next one. Which probably shows where they were before the Grand Prix, and they're worried that they would be a long way behind Red Bull and Ferrari and would lose a fair few points to Vettel, but a 3-point loss is decent weekend for him.
Quick, take it. We're there. Fernando Alonso called it probably the most boring race in the history of F1, and he enjoyed watching Indy 500. Maybe to just make a point, but we know that Fernando Alonso isn't having that much fun anyway. It's probably his own car's fault.
I'm sure I can think of more boring races than that one, though. The Bahrain Grand Prix, was that 2011, I'm thinking, off the top of my head?
When they went around the extra little car park bit, which nobody understood. And I think it was the drivers. I think they were just bored because they had to drive so slowly just to get to the end of the race, because there's no point pitting, because if you pit, you lose track position and it's so hard to overtake. So they were driving. Was it when Stroll put a new set of tyres on? He's 5 seconds quicker than the front. And you're like...
when a Williams sets, at one point, the fastest lap of the race, I mean, this season, you know you're kind of... The pace is quite slow.
Yeah. Also, the fact how quickly Ocon and Alonso and Sainz, that group, caught up the back of Bottas. I mean, the front two sort of gone away, but there's a long train of cars. It's just how slow the front lot were, just cruising around, waiting for the finish, really.
Well, I mean, you mentioned that Max Verstappen seemed to be the only person who worked out that you could actually overtake. But, I mean, there's already seen suggestions about the cars being too wide. Not, I mean, they're the same width as they were last year. But it just seems weird, that complete lack of going for a gap and trying to make something happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because when you see him race and you see the overtakes that he pulls off, I mean, he had obviously a battle with Carlos Sainz. They were, you know, really pushing each other, hardly leaving space, and he still managed to find a way past. Now, you have to get your elbows out in Monaco, it's a fact. And the real one place you can do it is down in out of the tunnel, going down the hill there, into the chicane. So it's just, you know, that's the place you can do it. You know what you need to do. It's just trying to make sure you can do it. But I think the biggest problem people faced was the acceleration cars had coming out of the corners. They were stuck behind. They were close through the corner. As soon as it came to putting the power on, they just couldn't get the power on soon enough, probably because they didn't have the grip on the tyres or be dirty or whatever they might want to blame it on. But you can overtake. It's just a shame that he was the only one who really was brave enough to do so.
I can hear Ped in my ears going, it's a gimmick race. No, I can see why you'd think it was a gimmick race. I mean, I love it because it's iconic, and I thought it was interesting. Is it Ross Brawn, I think, who said the Monaco Grand Prix should be judged differently to any other Grand Prix because it's a ridiculous setup, I guess, and what you're looking at maybe having as entertainment should maybe be considered slightly differently. I mean, when it is epic at Monaco, it's epic, and it's not like, you know, other tracks haven't produced crap races. Lewis Hamilton, interesting, he said, you know, 78 laps I think was pretty much too long, and he was wondering if they could have done things to mix it up and shake it up, do two races. He doesn't say he knows what the answer is, but two races, bunching up the cars with yellow flags and all sorts of shenanigans. But we're not at that point, are we, Kyle?
Not yet. I mean, it was one bad race, but we've had some, as you said, there's some classic Monaco Grand Prix, and when they are classic, ultra classic. I mean, we've had bad races in Barcelona before, we've had bad races in Bahrain, some in Silverstone we've had a bad race where nothing happens. It's just, it's like any sport. You can have a bad football game, you can have a bad cricket game. It's just, it's unscripted. So these things can happen. But yeah, I think it's too early. I mean, there's even talk of maybe changing the layout at all, but that's just wrong.
You can't change the track.
Yeah, you lose the special Monaco bit. Exactly. So
it's iconic, isn't it? The circuit there is iconic and has been that same layout for I don't know how many years, but it's been a long time. And it's one of the original racetracks where it is the same. You know, for someone going round that race course, whoever they are, racetrack, I should say, for them to think, I'm driving on the same tarmac as Ayrton Senna, Michael Schumacher, Prost, all the big names that are there, and they're driving the same bit, it must be quite incredible.
I think that's been the thing that's always kept it special for me, that the phenomenal nature of throwing those cars around that same track, however much the cars have evolved. I guess the issue comes when people aren't really pushing, and maybe they don't have to, and because they know they've got track position, I think then you've got an issue, because that's like the integrity of an actual race as opposed to a queue. and I think that's where it gets a little bit tricky, because they still need to race and force each other. Now, I should probably fess up at this point, because I'm saying this. I had a very busy weekend, and basically all I've managed to watch is the highlights that are on the F1 app. So that is a pitiful amount of F1 action. So these two gentlemen, I hope, are going to fill in all the blanks. But it was quite funny having watched the 5 minutes of the race thinking, is that it? Is that all that happened, really? Were there a few more nuances in there, Kyle?
No.
Not really, no. I mean, it's obviously interesting to see if anything would happen to Danny Ric's engine, if the MGUK would cause a major fault for the rest of the car or whatever, but it didn't come. And after a while, you kind of thought, well, this is just going to and stay as it is. There's always the risk of Monaco of a random safety car or something causing a bit of chaos, and it just wasn't to be. But anything I would do is I would, as I said before, is bring a minimum two pit stops in, and I'd have it for every race. It adds a bit more strategy, especially for Monaco. You can't push because you never know when, you know, somebody's going to pit or if a safety car affects it. So somebody suggested it, but yeah, I think minimum two pit stops.
I think that's an interesting point because you're only talking about having the third tyre compound essentially needing to be used, don't you? And that could be easily done. I did just want to bring in Martin Brundle's tweet. Of course, Norfolk Sun, a very proud Norfolk Sun. He tweeted, "I hear/respect all of your points of view, even the rude and disrespectful ones." On Twitter, can't imagine that, Martin. But I'd rather the 2018 Monaco Formula One Grand Prix happened than it didn't exist. At least there's plenty to discuss and moan about. Better that than nobody cared. I love everything about Formula One, despite itself. And I think that goes for all of us. Well said, Martin Brundle. Now, have a quick reminder of the best places to interact with us on social media. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram. The handle is @TheNRF1. That's the same for our Facebook page, where you'll find a link to our Facebook group. So get involved there. We love getting your emails too. nrf1podcast@gmail.com is the address. And of course, you can tie everything together with a visit to our website, nrf1.uk. Right, let's fire up the NRF1 pit stops. We've already touched on the key place to start. It's probably the only place we really need to visit, but we will do it straight away. Red Bull Racing, Daniel Ricciardo. Redemption, Rich, redemption.
Yeah, they were talking about it a lot. 2016, where, of course, Red Bull's error cost him the win. But this year, you know, he got it. It seemed like he had to work for it, but it's Monaco. If there's anywhere for that engine gearbox, you know, system, I've forgotten the word.
Powertrain? What would be the word?
It was just MGUK. Bit, wasn't it?
That's so. A bit McLaren build, isn't it? Sorry, McLaren.
The bit of the engine that went wrong, really, best place to have it is Monaco rather than anywhere else, because at least the effect isn't going to be as great. So well done to him. It was good.
And a really good weekend. I mean, kind of emphasised by his teammate who decided to crash it I was thinking I'm likening myself to Max Verstappen in qualifying here because I've got no participation having still seen him. But that did seem... Oh, I mean, what a waste from Max, because clearly they had a very quick car. They had a quick car all weekend, and Danny Ric did a really good job of managing that. But again, Max Verstappen just pushing it a little bit too far, maybe when he didn't need to. And, you know, we had one Red Bull on pole. The other one was bang at the back of the grid when the race started.
Yeah, unfortunately, we missed out on an epic qualifying between the two of them, because it was quite close. I think Max was quickest at the time in FP3 of his crash. So he had a pretty good chance of achieving pole position. Also, it would have been fascinating in the race. It's just, he must be, obviously, he looked quite happy afterwards and pleased for Danny Ric, but he must be sitting there going, that was a huge, huge opportunity, as Red Bull did look 2 or 3 tenths quicker than anybody else all weekend.
Indeed, and that's good to see that pace. I guess sometimes we forget how young Max Verstappen is. Yeah. I think that's what we're probably quite conscious of. And inexperienced. He made a pretty sizable jump, and I know he's done really well, but it's like in any sport, I think the adrenaline and pure talent gets you through especially when you're that supremely talented, it gets you through the opening bits, the opening exchanges. I don't know how long that is. It could be a year, 2 years, could be two races, but you always then get a plateau. You get a bit where the challenge starts coming in and you start overthinking things almost. And that almost feels like it's where Max is.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I think he probably would have won this weekend. Won Monaco if it wasn't for his crash in practice. And what really annoyed me was I could see how quick he was the whole weekend through the practice sessions, and then it was just a needless crash to happen because he knew he had the pace, he knew the track. You know, it's the worst possible time to have a smash. And I've never seen the suspension on a car look how it did. It was kind of the white fibers were all separated and then they came out of it. It was just, how had that happened? What, you know, how hard was that impact to make it do that? Because you rarely see that. It was quite close for the Red Bull mechanics to get him out, but just wasn't enough time.
It was actually the gearbox change, I think, in a way that did it, wasn't it? It was damage to the gearbox.
But I mean, you know, he still had a good recovery drive. But then, you know, you kind of look at the news afterwards and Red Bull say, yeah, Max needs to change his approach. And it's just like, that cannot be confidence building for him. you know, it's out there, he's a young guy. The team want him, but if they're going to keep pushing to change his approach, you don't want to take away all his talent and skill and kind of rein it in and just make him another boring driver, because everyone loves it, you know, loves the sport because of what he brings to it. And especially the Dutch fans, you know, they're travelling such numbers. And you think if their guys gets harshly treated, and if one day, you know, gets in a similar mindset to Alonso or someone and decides he'd rather race elsewhere, that's going to be a big loss for Formula One.
Just a bit. I mean, this is all emphasised by just how unforgiving Monaco is, because he did just clip an Armco, that snapped the suspension, and then he's head first into a wall just a few yards up the road.
Probably talking about 6 inches or so on the tyre. And I mean, Ricciardo did the same, I think, in FP2. He clipped it and it was kind of bounced off the barrier.
Yeah, there's a few that just clipped it enough not to break anything. Yeah. But we're in an interesting dynamic at Red Bull, aren't we? Because at the moment, I'm getting the impression that Red Bull desperately want Daniel Ricciardo to stay. They're obviously trying to sort out this contract. Last year before, they were desperate for Max to stay. Yeah. And it was all about Max. We were lavishing praise on Max. Danny's all right. We've got another year of him. That's fine. But all we need Max to stay. Max signs his contract. We need Danny to stay. So, in what you're saying as well, I guess, Christian Horner saying Max needs to maybe just alter it. Fairly, I guess there's a maturity in that, and I get your point as well, but the love at the moment is all being directed on the other side of the garage, because they want Danny to stay, and then clearly they would want both drivers to carry on. You know, once again, that came up quite a bit. I'm sure we're touching it in our Patreon podcast, but it's a fascinating dynamic as to where this ends, and also the journey it takes through the course of the season.
Yes, I also talk about Max changing. I don't think he needs to change at all. At the start of this Max section, he's 20 years old. And he's going through a rough patch and all the scrutiny's on him. And at 20 years old, that's quite a lot to take. He'll get through this and he'll bounce back and he'll be fine. It seems, I always think F1 never sports players can be out of form. But in a way, it doesn't seem drivers can be out of form in Formula 1. That's like complete extreme. They've got to change everything or do this. He's just out of form, bit of bad luck. He'll be fine. He's the quickest Red Bull driver. At an out pace, he is quicker than Danny Ric. But Danny Ric is much more experienced and he's in a good bit of form, and it's just, yeah, he's just racing better. But as you say, with Red Bull, I mean, they're just desperate for Danny Ric to sign, because it seems to work between them two. I don't think they're too keen on anybody else coming in. There's nobody really jumping at that seat. But yeah, it'd be interesting if Danny Ric does sign his contract, then it's back to the Max loving. You can kind of get the impression that Helmut Marko sees Max as the long-term glory boy of Red Bull that can win multiple world championships. But
Even Lewis in his conversation said, well, yeah, you know, if Red Bull got a quicker engine, they'd really be pushing, which is obviously why they're deep in discussion with Honda at the moment. Let's stop off at Sauber, shall we? Charles Leclerc, his crash. It was Charles Leclerc, wasn't it? Yeah. Who crashed, thank you. Who did he crash into the back of again? Brendan Hartley.
Yeah. Brendan.
We're not blaming Brendan, are we, for this? What happened? Because it looked like he'd had some pretty significant damage and then his brakes had gone. I only saw him go back into the back of Hartley and I was like, whoa, what have you done there? So, Rich, what actually happened?
It was something they hardly mentioned in the commentary, which is probably why. But if you watch the replay, I think there's
only 5 minutes of highlights, Rich. Not long.
But there's the kind of camera angle they had up above, and it was Leclerc's front left. I'm sorry, I cannot be bothered with the French pronunciation of Leclerc.
Charles Leclerc.
Charles Leclerc. It's just too much for my head to handle. So it's Leclerc, because, yeah.
Leclerc.
Leclerc. We'll call him Leclerc now. That's a good name. It's a good English name. Strong English name, Lee.
That's it. So
you could say it'd be Lee Clark, but it hasn't got... Anyway, carry on, Rich. Leclerc.
Him, that guy.
Lee.
His front left wheel, there was... Just as it hit the brakes, there's a massive puff of black smoke that went out of the front left. And it was a brake failure on that side, from what I gather, which then meant the front right was the only one which was doing anything, and it just locked. And of course, just he didn't have enough to stop himself, so he just had nowhere to go. He tried to take evasive action, if you look, and he kind of went into the barrier halfway. But Hartley obviously brake tested him, you know, being how rubbish he is. No. But... No, I feel bad saying that now. Aww. But no, yeah, Hartley was just wrong place, wrong time, just kind of got wiped out.
Sums up his career or form at the moment, Brendan, although he is in the seat, of course, but the rumours of him being replaced soon were a surprise to him, he said, before the weekend. So,
well, He's got a contract, apparently, isn't he? Which, yeah, that's pretty secure in Formula 1 these days, isn't it?
But I signed this and it said I'd be driving all the time, he said to Haimi Agaswari.
Who are they going to bring in, though? That's what I want to know. If they drop him, who are they going to bring in? Because my point of view, the reason he got there in the first place was because they had no one else. So unless they promote their F3 driver, I guess.
That's two horrible things you said about Brendan now, Rich.
It's also a shame because he was really quick. He was quick in practice and looked, he sort of top 10. You thought, wow, this could be a big weekend for him. And it just didn't quite work in qualifying. And then he gets involved in that pack. And yeah, it's a shame.
I mean, there is a line there, I think, that actually, if you look at the top 10, 11, you see the good drivers kind of shone, didn't they? Pierre Gasly had a good weekend. Esteban Ocon, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, there you are. Wondered where you were. Hülkenberg actually had a really good recovery. You know, there's a few good performances from people who took advantage of the situations, I guess. Flip side of that, poor old Kevin Magnussen had a bit of a strange old weekend of it.
Yeah, he seemed to struggle in qualifying, but he's also, compared to teammates, there's a nice little clip of him and Grosjean going up the first lap, going up the hill alongside each other, and Magnussen just completely owned him, just sort of nearly pushed him into a wall as he does K-Mag style.
Suck his
and he just owned Grosjean. So I mean, it was a pretty poor weekend for the Haas team, but there's a little bit of glory, I suppose, for K-Mag. And even Sorokin was having a decent weekend, qualified really well in 13th. I don't know if that was why Stroll was so stroppy all weekend, but the Sorokin, was it the tyres weren't fitted to his car?
Yeah, 3 minute signal, the tyres weren't fitted to his car and they didn't work after
then that problem wasn't that. Yeah, so yeah, it looked like he was going to have a decent weekend and unfortunately it all went wrong before he even started.
For Rob Williams, I was going to touch on McLaren as well, but we've kind of mentioned Fernando. We said in EP220, which is our last Patreon exclusive pod, a lot about where McLaren are and what they needed to show. And
one of the things I found quite funny the weekend was McLaren was saying, oh yeah, we're struggling around slow corners. You're like, no, you just have a slow car. No, it's not just a particular type of corner, fast corner, medium speed corner, slow corner, down a straight.
That best chassis on the grid can't kick in around slow corners. That's the problem, Carl. That's the problem. Yeah. Okay, well, much more from the NRF1 pit stops and chat about the 2018 Monaco Grand Prix. I think there's something left to talk about, probably. And that'll be in our exclusive Patreon podcast. To hear that and more, you can check out patreon.com/NRF1. That's patreon.com/NRF1. Right after this podcast. Now, as always, it is our of the weekends. So, gentlemen, I'm pretty much relying on you guys here. Rodolfo Gonzalez, driver of the weekend. I would say Daniel Ricciardo because he won the race. Anyone else?
Mr. Gasly, we sort of mentioned earlier. Another strong race for him.
Where did he come exactly in the end?
Seventh.
Wow. Shout. Like that. Rich?
Yeah. That caught me off guard a bit. I was kind of expecting him to be further down the top 10, but he was up there. I would agree with that. Ocon, give a shout to, because really forced India. You wouldn't have thought their car would be brilliant around Monaco, but he seemed to have something there. And Perez was down in 12th. I don't know if he did. He have any dramas or anything?
He had a pit stop error.
Was there slow?
Yeah.
So that was it.
Marcus Ericsson as well in 11th. Pretty decent effort.
Not bad, but I think he was slower than Leclerc. But it's not
he
bad.
Finished though, didn't he?
True.
Charles didn't.
True.
Lee Clerc, he didn't finish.
Very true.
He didn't finish. Okay, team of the weekend.
Red Bull.
Yeah, I think Red Bull. They had the car set for the track. So
that's always the trickiest award. I always think team of the weekend. But there we go. We'll give it to them. Brilliant. Pastor Maldonado of the weekend, who it all up. Well, Max probably, as already discussed.
Yeah, but he sort of bounced back on Sunday in a way.
Ninth?
Yeah. And there was some nice little overtakes. I mean, like I mentioned, Stroll, because he was just whinging all weekend about this and that.
Getting ready for his home race.
Yeah, I think he's, because in the midway, he's now the senior driver in a strange way, but he's not really.
It isn't fair on him, really. I mean, that's a ridiculous situation for him to be in.
Yeah.
We've already discussed Williams in recent weeks, too.
Mm. Sorokin was quicker, and I think he's sort of struggling to deal with the pressure, but it's another example of a young guy in probably a position he shouldn't be.
Yeah, quite.
For me, Stroll, it was a strange race because he seemed to, was it two times he hit the wall and it got a puncture on the same tyre, I think? Or no, one of the times he hit into the back of Ericsson, I think it was, and his own front wing punctured his own front tyre. So I'm really confused how he did that.
What an achievement. That is pretty good work.
Yeah, quite impressive. I don't think the wing broke either. It just kind of flexed back. And then, yeah, he kind of had the same puncture again another time. It was crazy. Was it three pit stops, I think, he made in the end?
He's just trying to mix it all up for us.
Just because I think in the end he ran out of tyres, so I was just like, yeah, you're going to have to go hypersoft to, just because you can. But
hypersoft, is that the soft?
Yeah.
Sorry, carry on, Richard.
But yeah, it just seems to be a bit of a strange weekend for him.
Moment of the weekend, the crash.
Max's, yeah, FP3 crash. He does like a wall in Monaco, doesn't he?
He does like a wall.
Can't remember exactly all our predictions, but I'm sure a few of them mentioned Max and walls.
I think there was, for a brief moment, another last name graphic that came up on the screen, which is another standout thing. But I think for me personally, it would be the Verstappen and Sainz battle, where Sainz went across the chicane and, of course, Max on the radio, cut the chicane, and then Verstappen does the overtake, kind of bumps over the curb a bit. What Sainz doing? Straight on the radio, you cut the chicane. Exactly the same radio message from both of them.
Yeah.
Just a lap after the other one. It's just like, you're both just like, oh, you should both be embarrassed. It's almost like a footballer diving and being stretchered off the field, but, you know, faking injury or something, because it's just one of those moments where it's like, you're guilty of doing the same thing. Just...
I think they told, was it Ocon last year that somebody might cut a chicane in front of him? I think his team said, did it happen? He went, yeah, you need to tell us. I'm sure they tell the drivers to say it over the radio. And I watched an F2 race at Monaco the weekend. It was just constantly, they were commentating on what was happening to other drivers, moaning about them. So it must be an instruction from teams just to make sure you're putting pressure on the next direction.
Absolutely, flag it up, isn't it? Formula 2, George Russell had a bit of a difficult weekend, did he?
Yeah, because he had an engine blow up in practice. We had like one lap before qualifying the first time he's been there. I think he qualified 12th 13th, something like that. It all went a bit wrong in the race, the feature race, and then in the sprint race he done a max and hit the wall same place, just out of swimming pool. So
learning experience for Norfolk's finest up and coming driver. Don't you worry, George Russell, you'll be back.
I was going to say, I'm sure Senna had a few crashes at Monaco before he got all his titles, so you know, they're still to come.
Race rating, as we normally do. This is the last one where we didn't have a rating from last year, I think, off the top of my head, so that's good. So far this year, Spain is bottom with 5.3. Of course, Azerbaijan, once again, top with 11.35 out of 11. But still lower than the 12 from last year. So Monaco, basically really deciding, was it worse than Spain? Bearing in mind that Australia was the 6.
See, I was... surprised listening to the Spain podcast you put Spain as low as you did, because I would have put it on par with Australia, because there was some interest but it wasn't all action, as we have seen. Again, Monaco, there was more intrigue from different things than racing, but I'd give it a 6 as well, just pretty much down the middle.
We have 4.5.
Kyle, I'm not going to give one because I don't think it's fair, because I didn't sit through it properly. The highlights were pretty cool, if that helps. Brilliant stuff. Well done, guys. So finally, who will have the biggest smile heading home on their plane? Rich, you can answer this one solely yourself if you want.
Go on, just say it.
Ricciardo.
Yes, thank you. Obs. Right, you can make sure you catch all our key NRF1 podcasts by subscribing via your podcast player of choice. Just visit nrf1.uk/podsubscribe and you'll find all the links you could possibly need. If you don't find it, send us an email. Let us know. nrf1podcast@gmail.com. And if you're listening to us via the podcast app on iTunes and Apple, then rate and review us. Why not? We'll have a read of some of the new reviews. You can do that by visiting nrf1.uk/isonitunes or on your podcast player.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers.
what's that, Rich?
I was just looking through on Twitter, and of course you were talking about who had the biggest smile on his face being Ricciardo. I think he could have had something else on his face, maybe with a bit of vomit potentially. Because he said on Twitter 12 hours ago, anyone wondering, I survived Mad Monday, I'm good. So I think you might have had a bit more champagne to enjoy in Monaco.
Grandiose. Well, why not? If you win the thing, you might as well enjoy yourself. So, Canada next. Ped, for you, going from your gimmick race to your favourite race. We obviously love a bit of Canada. Lewis Hamilton's domain, pretty much, in recent years. And I guess this is kind of where we take a breath and return to normality. At least it's not a back-to-back race with Monaco anymore.
No, it's just a brilliant race. Brilliant racetrack. Conditions can be changeable. There's walls to smash into. So be aware, Max. And it is just, Lewis Hamilton loves that place. It's just 6 wins, 10 races, I think. He just seems to love that place. I think they even asked Nico Rosberg on Sky, why is he so good? And it's just his braking. This is his unbelievable braking there. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Should be good.
Well, you see, that was useful punditry from Nico, so I'll take that as well. Worth saying that Nico Rosberg has signed up a young Carter. I can't remember if I said that last time out. Did I, Carl? Can't remember if I said that now.
I can't remember.
He signed up a Norwich Carter to his karting school, so that's very exciting. So hopefully I'll get to speak to Nico soon, and I won't tell him to f*** off. Honest.
Are we going to see him at Beckles?
Yeah, why not? I think that would be pretty much the level that they're working at, possibly-ish. Do you love a bit of Canada, Rich?
I do love Canada. It's just a great racetrack. It's one of those where everyone seems to struggle all the time. It seems to be with weather, with the grip of the track, as Carl mentioned about the walls, and of course all the animals that you get running across the track as well, it seems, half the time. It's just one of those places which, for some reason, it seems always produces a good race. And it, you know, there's all these modern tracks that they release, and I remember there was I think it was Herman Tilke, the racetrack designer, and people were saying his racetrack designs are rubbish because you can't overtake, and he was saying that's not true, blah blah blah. But you look at a lot of the older tracks, and Canada's one of the old ones, and it's always overtaking. There's safety cars, red flags, everything. And it's definitely one of my favourite races.
Love it. I love it. Cannot wait. As always, we like to get our predictions in, so we'll do that now. Prediction League update. Just to let you know, Prediction League is officially open to our patrons and those who are supporting us over at patreon.com. But you are more than welcome to submit your own predictions, whether you're a part of that or not. And we'll do our best to keep things up to date. You won't be eligible for prizes in that instance, but of course it'd be great to see how you do and keep track of things, and over the next couple of weeks that will all be brought bang up to date, I absolutely promise. But a little heads up to Kurt S, who actually made the best predictions on the opening round in Australia. So well done, Kurt, top work. And in terms of Bahrain, Maxwell Carey and Kieran Cousins were our top predictors, so well done. They both get a share of the £5 gift voucher prize for motorsportmerchandise.com or the Classic Team Lotus shop. We'll be in touch to sort out all those details. That means I've just got to update China, Azerbaijan, Spain and Monaco. So we're getting there. We're getting there. Don't worry. And as always, I do very much appreciate your patience. So it leaves us with one prediction to make ahead of Canada. And then, of course, we'll make all our other predictions on the Patreon podcast. I am going to predict that... How many years in a row has Lewis won this race?
One, 3 in a row.
Lewis is not going to win the Canadian Grand Prix. I don't believe that, but I've just said it and predicted it. So there you go, that's my shout. Rich?
It's Canada, he's French, so it kind of links. I'm going to say Grosjean top 10 finish.
Oh, it was going to be a Charles Leclerc prediction then. Love it, good work.
It's Monaco. We all know he's Monaco, he's not French.
Monegasque, all over it. Kyle?
I think I'll go for a Stroll prediction.
Oh.
Lance returning home to finish in the top 13.
If that doesn't get him excited, nothing will. Let's hope it puts him in less of a strop. The walking weapon. More of a danger to himself at the moment, but there we go. Brilliant stuff. As I said, we'll bring out all our predictions. We'll get all those together in EP221. I think that's right, which you'll be able to hear in a moment. Patreon.com/NRF1 is where you can hear that podcast and all our exclusive bonus content. So we're also doing Fantasy League, the Formula One Fantasy League game, which I'm sure a few of you guys are doing as well. We've had a proper go at setting all that up. You'll be delighted, absolutely delighted to know, I am sure. We do have an official NRF1 podcast league, which is a public league. So get involved in that. I guess the best way to do it is to search for it, because it's not a private league, so there's no code. So get involved in that. That is our public public league, the official NRF1 podcast league. You can get involved and join the fun of our podcast league. We've also got a team which we are altering and putting together each ahead of each race weekend. It's a democratized fantasy, that's not a word, fantasy league team. So that is very good. How did we get on last week? I hear you all shout. Well, we got 128 points. Was that good, Rich? Is that good score?
That was more than what I got on my my own one. So I think that's pretty decent.
Yeah, I like that. Well, that's good. Well done, us. I don't really know. Let's have a look what that means. So 128 points. That seems pretty good, I would suggest. Last week, my team got 165 points. So we did worse than me. Well, that probably doesn't bode very well. But anyway, we will, on the EP221, update our fantasy league team for the NRF1 podcast. At the moment, it has Red Bull as the team, with Ricciardo, Hamilton, Leclerc, Grosjean, and Alonso. So Alonso there, we made him our turbo driver, whatever it was, and he got minus 12 points. So f*** you, Fernando.
I was in the same position with mine, so don't you worry.
So there we go. Yeah, join up Patreon, and you can follow and join and get involved in our fantasy league team that we are trying to sort out collectively, which is always good fun, of course. Right, we are done. Make sure you enjoy Canada when it rocks up. Remember, if you want to hear more from us about Monaco, our full Montreal predictions or opinions on the big F1 news and everything in between, take in our exclusive bonus Patreon podcast. That includes I'm Talking About the Ban on the Mirrors. Caterham debt repayments and Baku Tastic. For that and a whole load of extra content, just check out patreon.com/nrf1. We will return with E222, our annual Canada love-in, as we review the Montreal action, plus another bonus Patreon edition, all shortly after round 7 of the Formula 1 Championship. In the meantime, thanks to Future Radio, and goodbye from the crew, from Kyle.
Goodbye.
From Rich.
Goodbye.
From myself, Michael Bailey, goodbye. This has been the NRF1 podcast. Here's to a Canadian goose of a Grand Prix, because to be quite frank, we're a jury one. Until then, goodbye.